From the Director of Audits, an audit report titled An Audit of Emergency Contract Extensions for Paratransit Services Negotiated by Milwaukee Transport Services, Inc. for a 3-year period effective November 1st, 2012. The Committee on Finance and Audit addressed this item at their April meeting and recommended approval of the recommendations, and the Board adopted those recommendations at their April 25th Board meeting.
Young man, state your name for the record.
Doug Jenkins, Deputy Director of Audits. Mr. Hare is out of town this morning, so I'm taking his stead. Mr. Chair, committee members, this audit was directed by both the Comptroller and the County Board in the immediate aftermath of a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel back in March of this year. And that story described a failed attempt on the part of MTS to award a contract for Milwaukee County Paratransit van services on behalf of Milwaukee County on a competitive proposal basis. After a series of events that I will describe in a moment, ultimately MTS instead negotiated 2 3-year contract extensions with the two existing vendors on an emergency basis. And we estimate that the cost of those emergency extensions over the estimated cost of the presumptive winning proposal under the procurement process was in the range of $7.9 to $86.6 million for that 3-year period. Now, key to understanding what occurred here is the fact that there are two existing vendors and that they were under no contractual obligation to continue paratransit services after October 31st of 2012. In addition, MTS anticipating going from two vendors serving half of the county to one vendor serving the entire county. And therefore, it was anticipated that a minimum of 30 days would be needed to ramp up capacity for that proposal. Therefore, you're really looking at a hard deadline of approximately October 1st to get this contract awarded. That's key to understanding what occurred throughout this process. Now, we give a very detailed timeline sequence of events in the report. I'm just going to highlight 5 key factors that we think ultimately resulted in this outcome. And that first item was an initial 23-day internal delay at MTS in developing specifications for that RFP. Now, it's also important to understand that in and of itself, any one of these 5 items would not have resulted in this outcome. It was the culmination of all 5 of these things on top of one another that resulted in going with the emergency extensions. So a 23 delay in the very beginning of the process back in April of last year really would have been no big deal at that point. But it did in fact occur. They were 23 days behind, going by the timeline that was done in the previous contract award, which was in 2007. The second important factor was an additional 22 delay in obtaining a disadvantaged business enterprise goal established for the RFP. Now, the establishment of that goal requires coordination and cooperation between MTS and the County Office of Community Business Development Partners. And that obviously didn't happen in a timely fashion. The third item is an additional 22-day delay while MTS awaited for written guidance on a procedural matter related to the procurement process, awaiting written guidance on that procedural matter. When the RFP was released and proposals came in, there were technical problems, the paperwork associated with the Buy America compliance certifications with 2 of the proposals. Both those vendors were allowed to make revisions to those and correct those errors. And before proceeding with the actual contract award, MTS and Milwaukee County Department of Transportation wanted to get written guidance from the FTA on that specific matter. Now, it actually took 52 days from the point of the request to get that written guidance, which ultimately stated that what MTS did was proper. However, it was actually 22 days onto the timeline because progress continued on the procurement process during part of that time. Now, the fourth item was later in the process after an intent to award letter had been issued to the presumptive winning proposal. There was a formal appeal filed. A hearing was established for that appeal hearing. A date was established for that appeal hearing. Based on a request from advocates for disabled residents, the hearing was delayed an additional 10 days. And at this point, the timing on that was critical because this was into October, and as I said, that October deadline was looming. Finally, fifth item here was a lack of the service continuation clause and an unwillingness on the part of the two existing vendors to work with MTS to accommodate the delays with a short-term extension at acceptable terms. So the culmination of those five factors is what led to the position that MTS and as well as the county Department of Transportation felt that they needed to go with these emergency extensions in order to prevent the disruption in service to this very vulnerable clientele. Now, key recommendations of the report include clarifying specific accountabilities and lines of authority between MTS and the County Department of Transportation. Brian just noted that they've incorporated that in the new RFP and example contract. Specific recommendations include, number one, require a continuation of service for all paratransit contracts so that we don't get into this situation again. In other words, if there are any unanticipated delays, the terms of the current contract are extended until a replacement vendor is selected and up and running. Second, establish suitable timeframes for procurement that include hard internal deadlines, formal agreements on turnarounds between turnaround times between county departments and players, and ample cushion for unforeseen delays. There were really no milestones other than in people's minds about what needed to occur when, and we need to formalize those and have a sense of urgency about that. Finally, we recommended that emergency contract extensions be limited to 1 year. This is a federal regulation, a standard used by the feds, and we think it's an appropriate one, and it could have provided MTS some additional leverage in that negotiating process that said we can't go beyond here. Now, we did identify a very limited number of options that could be considered to potentially terminate the existing emergency contract extensions. However, lacking that continuation clause, you're really back in the same pickle that you were in this process. So we have recommended that the Department of Transportation work with Corporation Council and the FTA to review those limited options we discussed and to see if they might be used to mitigate the cost of these extensions without disrupting services. We're just saying we didn't see a lot of daylight there. If you have any questions, I'd be happy.
Any questions of the committee? Senator Washon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the, I have a question about the, I guess, the validity of the winning bid. That you know, we have an RFP process. You have a vendor come in and suggest that they can do the service. Yet then when, as you pointed out, when they were asked to provide that service for that short-term period while we worked out, you know, some type of thing there, they refused to.
And it did, there was a little bit of...
I'll finish before you clarify.
Sorry, then, yeah, that was... just say if you could just kind of... address that, like I said, the validity of the winning bid, because they refused to provide that service when they were asked at that price, and then we were stuck with these extensions.
Mr. Chair, committee members, there's it didn't happen quite that sequence. There was some intervening issues. There was an appeal in place by one of the existing vendors that obviously didn't get the, it wasn't the presumptive winner. So the appeal was in process. So MTS felt they couldn't go ahead and with the single service model. So they asked both vendors to extend under the current model of each serving half of the county on a short-term basis. The firm that appealed, Transit Express, refused to consider a short term. They, out of the chute, they wanted a 3-year extension. First Transit, the presumptive winner, initially agreed that they would do a short term on their current contract while the appeal process played out. As events went on, which we detail in the detailed timeline, then MTS went and considered going with a full county service with First Transit. Now, at that point, there was less than the 30-day window for First Transit to ramp up, and they started asking for some concessions at that point. They thought they had a deal, and ultimately, this is why we say that ultimately both vendors wouldn't cooperate to the extent needed to get the job done. And they wanted some different changes on the back end that MTS could not provide because that affected the actual bid that was being contested, and you couldn't modify that proposal. So ultimately, there could not be a meeting of the minds with either of the vendors, and that's why we say that there's an unwillingness on both parts. But initially, it wasn't as simple as saying, so I don't think you can use that to say that the initial bid could not have been valid had it been done on the time, on the time frame anticipated initially.
Thank you.
Circumstances changed, you know, a bit.
Do you consider this that it really was a competitive bidding process when there was just two bidders?
Yes, it was competitive, and in the sense that there was more than one scenario that you could bid either on either of the two existing, you know, half county service areas, or for the county as a whole. And there were actually four bids, proposals submitted. Mm-hmm. Two of them the evaluation committee did not consider credible or that they could come through with the service. So it was down to the two existing vendors.
Mr. Drassi?
I was just going to reiterate that point that okay. There were four.
All right. So what did you say that's four?
Thank you. Well, it just goes to this whole bidding process that when, we seem to be held over the barrel by these two vendors, and are we at a point that we need to assess that this bidding process isn't working and that we need to look at a different way of providing the service, whether it is just us, providing the vehicles and sort of do with what our transit system has now of then providing the drivers. Every bus you see that, driving down the road today is owned and maintained by Milwaukee County. And then you have the transit company providing the management of the administration and the drivers. Should we be looking at a similar type system for paratransit? Because it doesn't seem that we are getting that, like I said, competitive process. If we had four bidders, two were thrown out because they weren't capable bids, and then we seem to be dealing with vendors that don't want to accommodate our needs. So I think maybe could you speak? Is there any recommendations in here that deal with that, changing the system completely?
No, we did not suggest that the model needed changing based on the work that we did. That wasn't really what we were looking at. That's always a possibility, but I wouldn't necessarily conclude that you can't get good, decent proposals out of this process because of this particular instance. As I said, there was a those five factors culminated in the situation that we're in, and any one of them alone would not have created the situation. I don't think that the conclusion could be reached that it's a failed process, or that the procurement process itself can't be used effectively.
Well, I guess my last comment is that we're obviously we have to reevaluate our relationship with these vendors. If they had no problem putting the knife to our throat, so you know, I think that if that's the way they want to do business, then fine. Then we will find other people to do business with or a different way to do business. They gouged us for $8 million, and now you know they may have won this round, but I don't think their long term goals are satisfied. Thank you.
Mr. Boa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question about the Purchasing Appeal Committee. Do you know from the audit who made the decision to delay the hearing for 10 days?
Well, I don't know if there was a I guess you would say that the managing director of NTS is ultimately responsible for that decision, but I don't believe that there was any dissent. I believe that was a consensus management opinion at NTS.
And if it moved forward to actually conduct a hearing, how many individuals are on that purchasing
On the appeals committee? I believe they formed a committee with three members for that purpose.
Three members of who?
Mr. Drafted, can you answer the question?
Mr. Chairman, that's an internal process for MTS. Perhaps Mr. Jones?
I do believe that the committee was made up of existing or former MTS employees familiar with.
Gotcha. They make their own appeals. Okay. And my other question was the amount that was lost in the media. They suggest the $8 million figure
right,
from the old contract to the emergency extension amount. How valid is that?
Go right ahead.
Mr. Chair, committee members. Yes, we scrutinized that number quite carefully, and it would say it was an accurate number, and that was the best number available at the time the decision was made by MTS to go with the extensions. The reason that we said it's within a range of 7.9 to 8.6 is because there has been a downward trend in ridership of the paratransit services. It's one of the reasons why MTS decided to open up the bidding process to opening the county up to a single service area because of economies of scale that could be reached in that way. And looking at MTS has updated their ridership numbers. We scrutinized those by looking at the numbers over the past 3 years, including the first 3 months of 2013, and we agree that if you lower those ridership estimates from what was listed in the RFP, that the presumptive winning proposal would have been lower, and indeed the emergency contract amounts, the difference between those would be 7.9. Now, 225,000 of that is a hard number that was presented to First Transit listed as for startup expenses that they incurred throughout this process.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Supervisor Washington.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In you know the highlighted delays, like you said, how these things kind of cascaded. Did you find any time that MCTS didn't contact our Milwaukee County Department of Transportation and let them know the situation? Do we have a communication problem or?
I believe if you look at the timeline, I think there was considerable communication between those parties. I didn't get the sense that they weren't communicating at all.
So I think and that's one thing I think when looking at and evaluating the process that, at least from the people from MCTS that I've talked to, is that every step of the way, the county exec and Department of Transportation were made aware of the situation, and that you could say they showed no objection to the process, or you know, made demands in any other way. Is that at least that's my interpretation of what I've read from this and talking to people.
I would say from the email trail that we present in the audit that there was close communication between MTS managing director, the contract administrator, which is the director of planning at the county transportation, and the director of then public works and transportation.
Thank you.
All right. Since there's no other questions, thank you. We have one card from John Doherty who would like to speak.
Is that number 9, I thought?
No, right here.
Number 2.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the committee members, thank you, first of all, for hearing me, and secondly, that I'd like to believe at the end of my testimony, you might feel differently about what occurred. If I could first address some of the areas in terms of the audit, and then I'm going to ask for your indulgence because I can tell you what occurred in terms of the procurement that I think you're going to find to be interesting. So if I can start with the audit. By the way, my name is John Doherty. I'm Vice President of Transit Express. I've been appointed by every county executive dating back all the way to John Doyne in 75 for various committees for the county, and always tried to volunteer and be a good citizen for the county. Let me just, with respect to the language in the audit, if I could ask you to reference page 26 and 27. There's a reference on both of those, and there's a heading of estimated ridership, and I'm confident that that language should read estimated hours of service. The ridership is twice that as listed in both of those pages in the tables 2 and 3 in the audit report. Page 39 in the audit report has a reference in the left-hand column of April 8th, and I'm confident that date should read August 8th. There's also a reference on page 69, and feel free to stop me at any time.
Why don't you get to your point? We understand there might be some discrepancies in the audit.
Sure.
You're just going to give us a highlight of where you think we could shed some light on this whole RFP process.
Sure.
Mr. Doherty,
sure.
Can you do that?
Sure, I can see you doing it. I'll stop with any comments about the actual language in the audit. The procurement process was largely, and this goes to Supervisor Weichen's comments, started by having one of the contractors propose a rate that was 20% lower than they were currently getting paid. That they went through in year 4 of the services, and they describe that they had costs, some of which were 45.5% higher than they were the year before, and asking for an increase for year 5. And exactly a year later, they submit a proposal that's then 20% less than they currently were being paid. Now, they could have done it for two reasons, and I believe two reasons only, they either wanted to take the market out by underpricing, or they made a mistake. And I think the latter is true, and I'll explain why in just a few minutes. So we had a situation where MCTS, in good faith, went through the entire process, but suddenly they've got a bidder that is suggesting they're going to get a really low rate. There's one thing that the RFP, in terms of consideration for future procurement, it did not have a performance clause or bond in it. That, I think, is a good idea when you're doing this, because you're going to end up then having bidders having to kind of guarantee that they're going to do the work for the price that they quoted. And in fact, in this case, that when push came to shove and they were asked to do it, that they wouldn't end up providing the service. So MCTS has a rate. They're trying to look at those dollars. But in effect, without a performance bond, what would have happened is that the service would have started, and the service would have been horrible, because you can't do paratransit work is a very labor-intensive business. You've got a driver with maybe one or two passengers in the vehicle, and you've got to follow the speed limit. You got to take the time to create the securement inside the vehicle, so you're not going to end up in a situation where you're going to end up seeing 20% savings. I've been doing this for 37 years, and they would have lost, First Transit would have lost $2 million a year. And that's why, at the end of the day, they didn't want to end up negotiating. And that's why they ask for concessions, and that's why they keep jacking the price up. MCTS was thinking they were dealing with an entity that was working in good faith, but they really weren't.
Unless you're talking about another vendor that's not here to defend themselves, can you tell me what you say you're going to talk about the RFP process? I don't need to hear about the other vendor. Tell me how you feel that the process was skewed, anything else. Because the other vendor that you're talking about is not in, and defend the comments that you're making right now.
Well, they certainly could have came here, but I believe that Milwaukee County was unjustly accused of not saving money for the taxpayers, and that simply wasn't going to be the case. You might have saved for 2 or 3 months until the system blew up, and then you would have ended up paying, because at the end of the day, the First Transit would not end up accepting anything other than a rate that was 3% higher than their current rate, not 20% less. So the county and MCTS have been faulted for this process. But the reality was they were dealing with somebody that didn't want to make a deal at the end of the day, and the savings wouldn't have been there. You can't propel a vehicle and have it get and run 20% more efficiently than it did the year before. So all the hoopla that occurred in the media wouldn't have occurred, and you've seen the articles about Logisticare for the state, and all the service and the system blew up. And the state had to go back and pay a lot more. The same would have occurred here. Would it have been nice for the county to save? I'm a taxpayer. Yeah, it'd be nice for the county to save that money, but you wouldn't have saved it. It's a false premise that somehow an existing contractor can come in and be able to provide the service at a 20% lower rate is not even blue sky. It simply was a misrepresentation, and there was all kinds of other misrepresentations. And let me just give you one other example. The same contractor in Boston proceeded to do exactly the same thing a couple years ago. They proposed the MBTA that they were going to provide rates 18% lower. 6 weeks before the service was to start, they then told MBTA that they couldn't provide the service and pulled out and left MBTA, Boston's transit system, with a $60 million hit. And in that process, and in fact, as part of our appeal, that we stated and requested that MCTS go back and check whether that did in fact occur. And they proceeded to get a letter back from First Transit's attorney saying, oh, we did nothing wrong, everything was fine. The attorney general looked at it, and everything was perfectly fine. And 5 weeks to the day later, First Transit paid MBTA Boston $7.3 million for pulling out of the contract.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? This item was just informational. If not, Madam Clerk.